Good morning, good evening, good day, whatever hour.
All of the good mornings.
Welcome to the Come See podcast. My name is Dami Okeke and I am your host. And just to give an introduction to the person that is joining me today, I've watched him from afar for over 10 years making music. I've seen him, you know, adorning stages. It's so funny because we've moved in similar circles, but we've never quite crossed paths. And I'm so excited to welcome Faith Child. Welcome to the Come See podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm elated that you are here. I'm so excited. The gist that we're going to have is going to be good. It's going to glorify God.
Amen. And we're both Yoruba, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you know it's going to be sweet.
Do you speak Yoruba or no?
Dear, dear.
Dear, dear.
Yeah.
As you even that deer was.
I know. I was born and raised here, isn't it?
I was raised here. I was not born here.
Yes, that's the difference. You've got the.
I've got the source.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got the source. So let me just do an official introduction. So he is a MOBO and multi award winning rapper, presenter, one of the UK's top contemporary Christian artists. He's been at the forefront of urban music in the Christian community for over a decade. I'm going to say 15 years plus. Performed in more than 25 countries. And believe it or not, there almost wasn't a Faith Child because his mum considered having an abortion.
Yeah.
Welcome. Can you tell me? I've seen you talk about this, but I really want to understand. One, why you didn't know, like, your birth conception story for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then two, what your response was when you actually found out.
That's a good question. So I'm a pastor's kid. Mm. So often as a pastor or preacher's kid, you hear your life in the sermon. So I was probably maybe 12 or 13 at Bible study. And my mom said, yeah, I was considering aborting my last born. And I was thinking, that's interesting. I was like, wait.
I'm the last born.
I was like, wait, that's me. So she's got my attention now and I'm listening. Oh. And then she shared the story. So as at the time, she was a single mom, poverty, domestic violence, four children. And she had a coil in her, contraceptive.
Yeah.
So she did not want any more children. So me being me, God being God, I still came through. So she went to do the deed at the clinic. And
can I stop you there? Yeah. Why was her response not, big God, this is a miracle child.
Yeah.
You know, people are very superstitious.
Yeah,
why was her response, clinic?
I think because she was going through domestic violence to my father and financially things were tight.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do in that situation is add another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
As well as a young child as well. There are already four of us. Exactly. Already four of us. And my sister above me was the last born in my mom's eyes, in everyone's eyes.
Mm.
You know, so I remember my eldest sister, there was a conversation like, oh, mom, how could you do this? I thought this was the last one. Because I feel like, you know, big up the firstborns. I feel like the firstborns should be...
The mantle of firstbornship.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like firstborns should be exempt from tax. Tax, they should be exempt from it. I feel like they've paid their dues already. So
they've suffered.
My sister, in essence, was essentially like my mom's helpmate, my mom's partner, so to say.
Yeah, co-parenting
that kind of. Yeah, exactly. I still slightly think that my eldest sister's my mom, but...
Yeah.
I think...
Are you waiting for the day?
I'm waiting
that
one
film,
day. Just
like...
Yeah, just to let you know, FYI, I am your mom.
I'm actually your mom.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So because of domestic violence and challenges in the family, but something stopped her.
Yeah. God spoke to her for the first time. And my
granddad. So she wasn't a Christian before this.
She, wherever your doctrine
religious.
Lies. Yeah. Wherever your doctrine lies, you could say she wasn't a Christian at the time. However, she came from an Anglican background. My granddad, so her dad is a Anglican bishop.
Oh, wow.
So he would fly in, I think every 4 or 6 years, the Queen would have like a gathering every 4 or 6 years of all like the Anglican and bishops from across the world. So he was legit. But it just kind of showed that you can be in church, but not be churched, to say. So it was after that encounter that she kind of took her faith seriously. God spoke to her and said, don't abort the baby. She said, I'm a single mom, poverty, domestic violence, four kids, how can I cope? And God said, believe, have faith in me, and I'll show myself to be God. So I was a faith child, so to say. And I had chosen the name Faith Child prior to even knowing my story.
Wow.
The way God had orchestrated the whole thing. So one of the things God said to her is that I'll make his pregnancy easy and I'll show you favor and mercy through this child. And I was actually born on Mother's Day of that year. I was a Mother's Day gift. And I slipped out. I was literally 1 hour. My labor was 1 hour. My labor was one hour.
Wow.
And I feel like mothers can, I think like the firstborn apparently is usually the longest. So my eldest sister, I think she's like 18 hours or so. So comparing the first birth to the last birth, 18 hours to 1 hour.
That's
God. Yeah.
Wow. And he kept his word because indeed he did. Here you are. You're still active.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. Obviously doing my research for our conversation. And it dawned on me that some years ago, well over 10 years ago, they used to have this event called Festival of Life.
Yes.
And the 1 year I went, because, you know, I fell off the rails. So that's the reason why I was absent after that. But the 1 year that I did go, I think it was close to when Bibles had been released.
Yeah.
Did you or did you guys not perform that festival?
We did. And I think that might have been the last one. So that would, Festival of Life, for those who may not know, is now, as at the time, it was three times a year.
Yeah.
So Festival of Life is an all-night event by RCCG and it will start at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
and end at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Now the youth arm was called NX Gen and that would start at midnight and end at 5. So it was something to engage the young people. So my family, as well as the church, RCCG, were part of the planning team and committee.
Mm.
So so we performed, that would have probably been March or April 2009. I remember that was the last one, 2009. And Bibles performed. And I think we'd have like 5,000 young people attend to that every Amazing. Time. So it was like a staple event in a Christian calendar for young people. However, because of where, I won't say because of where it was situated. However, because it attracted young people, a lot of non-Christians would come.
Oh my goodness. And chaos.
Yeah. And they would see like their rival gangs. And they would just start fighting.
I remember the one time I went, it was at the Excel.
Yes.
And we were like, nah, we're going, man. This is boring. Like, no shade. I love Festival of Praise now. Like, Festival of Praise that RCCG does.
Yeah.
But at the time, we weren't really church, like you were saying.
Yeah.
We were just going because it was on the calendar, you know? And we were like, oh, we're bored, man. We're going. So we start making our way out. And then we hear, and it's Bibles. We legged it. Ran back. Just for that song. And then we were like, we better go because rival gangs are gonna come and it's gonna kick off. I mean, in hindsight, maybe midnight was not the best time for the youth
to start.
Maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason why is because like the youth came with their parents.
Yeah.
And they were just loitering in the corridors because they weren't really engaged with.
Yeah.
So, but then again, I'm thinking, why did we even start at midnight? Why didn't we just start it at 8 the same time? When the adult one was starting.
Yeah.
But we just started at midnight. Those were some amazing days.
Honestly.
Yeah, and I think like, I get this safeguarding issue as well because you'd have like literally like a 13-year-old volunteer usher trying to tell a 21-year-old, can you sit down please?
Yeah.
That's not really
going to... A 21-year-old man them like.
Yeah, that's not really going to work out in hindsight. So yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so when I realized that childhood memory for me was actually you on stage. This is like almost a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Because here we are, sat on the comfy sofa, and I'm able to learn about your faith, hear about the encounter with Jesus that has brought you here to date where you are now. So tell me your comfy story. So comfy, for those who don't know, is based on John chapter 4, verse 29, where the woman by the well encounters Jesus, and after encountering him, she runs off to her village. You know, this is a dejected, marginalized woman. She's been judged. She's had several divorces. She's been married multiple times. And she forgets all of that shame. She runs into the village and she says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And I believe every Christian has at least one, every true believer of Christ has at least one come see story, one encounter with God that dramatically changed the trajectory. Oh, I can't say the word.
Trajectory.
Trajectory. What he said of their life. What was that for you?
It's very interesting because I guess ultimately one would maybe go to a salvation story, how they came to faith. I think because of my birth story, I was born and raised in the church. So God was always real to me. So train a child in the way they will go, and when they grow, they won't depart from it. I think I'm testament of that. But one moment, an encounter where I knew God was real was when I got into a car accident. So I think I
saw some footage.
I got hit by a car when I was younger. And I think at like 40 miles an hour. Now, being Nigerian, yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is a different.
It's a different one, yeah. Okay. So being Nigerian, I was across the road at my neighbor's house and they said, let's go to the park. Now, as a Nigerian, what are you going to do? You're going to go home and say, Mum,
Let's rewind.
Maybe it's 2024. These kids today are different,
isn't
it?
It's true.
So if you tell your mum you're going to Adam's house,
yeah,
you're going to Adam's house. If you're going to the park or co-op, you better go and tell your mom.
You need to add that to the
exactly.
story.
Exactly. So literally across the road, this is my neighbor across the road. Yeah. So I went to cross the road to tell Arcs rather, can I go to the park? I'm with my sister. We look left, look right, there's no car. I stepped out, boom, hit by a car. It was like 40 miles an hour now. And I land on my neck.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, when I landed on my neck, I felt a cushion underneath me. And I was wearing the thinnest of jackets, so anyway, I hit the floor.
Everyone's sister's like, freaking out.
She's freaking out, exactly. Like, oh my god, she runs to get my mum.
What did the person in the car do? It wasn't a hit or run.
He parks the vehicle.
Okay, good.
Parked the vehicle, and all I remember is I'm on the floor. At some point, I pass out.
Oh my goodness.
I wake up, I'm conscious now. And the ambulance said, oh, where's the pain? And I said, I can feel it in my thumb. And where else? Oh, just my thumb. And they're like, what? And I was like, when I landed, I felt a cushion underneath me. And they're thinking that I'm probably not all there.
Yeah, hallucinating.
Because like a concussion or whatever in it. So anyway, they put me in a stretcher. I passed out again. I wake up in A&E. And this is the funny part of the story, I'm in the gown.
Yeah.
The gown with no back.
Oh, snap.
But that day, I didn't wear any underwear. So my mom's like...
not only have you gone and gotten yourself run over.
So the moral of the story
is... commando.
The moral of the story is...
always wear underwear.
If you don't wear underwear, you might get knocked over. That's the moral of the story.
Oh, my goodness.
But so all of that happened. X-rays came back and they're like, no, you're legit fine. There's no bumps, no bruises. And like my thumb is totally fine now. So like, there's no other explanation to that other than that was God.
Yeah.
Because like, how can you feel a cushion when you hit 40 miles an hour in a thinnest of jackets, land on your neck and everything is totally fine. So that encounter for me is one where I can see I've had one of my own personal encounters.
Yeah.
And it's even like, again, like the simple things that happen, like I'll be every day, as much as I can, I pray for God to give me opportunities to be his hands and feet. And I'll go to a train station by my house and God will make me take like the furthest exit to my house than the closest one. And then something would happen in that exit. I'll have an encounter or conversation with someone where you're praying like, oh God, I need £10. And God just leads me. Gives me, oh, go and give that person money. Or someone's trying to find their train and I need to help them with their luggage so they can make their train. Just these minor encounters. Mm-hmm. But for me, that accident that I had was something that I was like, nah, that is God. You can't explain it.
No.
And I think sometimes we try to explain things or rationalize things, but some things are supernatural and can't be. I was in a barber's yesterday. Mm. Let me not digress too much. And we're talking about one of my barbers isn't a Christian.
Mm.
And we're talking about a dream he had and all this other stuff and whatnot. And talking about how other powers can make things happen.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I'm not going to be ignorant or lie to you that there aren't other powers. There are other powers.
Yeah.
But God is the supreme power. And I started talking about when Moses and how those guys, they're
Pharaoh's magicians. Yeah,
their snake or whatever rod turned into a snake, but Moses' one did. But it ate their one.
Yeah.
You know, so there are powers there out there. There are levels. And if some Christians try to act like they're not. No, yeah, they are. Let's be honest. Are. However, ours is the supreme power.
Yeah.
You know, indeed. So yeah.
One of the things that I want to find out from you is, you know, when people look at your social media feed, even the conversation we had, you have your hands in a million pies, right? Yeah. And you're a blessed man. You have a gorgeous wife, absolutely beautiful. Thank you for releasing him. We appreciate it. And, you know, whenever there are big events in the UK, you're usually hosting. And that's another reason why I was so humbled that you even said yes, because actually, you know, we're just starting and I'm really grateful for that. I have something for you, by the way, just for saying yes. But what I really wanted to ask was, you talked just a few minutes ago about being able to hear the voice of God, responding when he gives you instructions, like, you know, give this person £10, you know, or go to the end of the train carriage, go to the last carriage, things like that. How did you learn how to hear God's voice in that way? And how has that helped your walk?
I'm going to try and explain it as well as I can. Now, you often hear the word, "I'll have a relationship with God." And for a non-Christian or a baby Christian, that makes no sense. Because as far as we've known, you have a relationship with physical people or your imaginary friend in books that we often make jest of.
Yeah.
So I think it's by reading the Bible and being in the fellowship of Christians and believers that you understand the nature and character of God.
God, yeah.
Now, Holy Spirit, some people might call it your conscience or whatever. Like
an inner voice.
Yeah, an inner voice kind of thing. And I think if someone said to you, your friend Jackie did XYZ, you can say, that doesn't sound like Jackie. If they say Melissa did, Melissa did that.
She's capable of it. Yeah.
So absolutely. I feel like the more you understand God, you kind of get to understand his voice. Yeah. However, the more you get to know God, the more you know you don't know him.
Yeah.
Because Jesus will heal one guy, a blind guy, touched him once, he's fine. The second guy had to touch him twice.
Yeah.
It was like, "Oh, I see men is true." Then he touched him a second time.
Yeah.
Was Jesus not sufficient? No, he wasn't. But sometimes certain things require additional support and additional needs. So so to try and answer it in a succinct way, I think it's by actually studying the word of God and trying to understand and having the desire to know what does God want from me.
Yeah.
And I went through a situation in a friendship recently where I felt the person had offended me and I had my part to play in it anyway. Mm. And
as is always the case.
Yeah. It often takes two to tango. And I remember in this scenario now, I'm now in the right. I've done my due diligence, but they're still not doing what they need to do.
Okay.
And I felt God prompted me to do something. And I was like, "Allow it, man."
What? You want me to say sorry?
I'm like, "No, I don't want to do this." But I did it anyway. And I love the fact I can feel convicted to do something I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife and we got like three or four pastors at church. And one of the pastors, and I was saying, like, "I love the fact that I can be challenged and not want to do something."
Yeah.
But I know God is telling me.
Yeah.
And it's that prompting of the Holy Spirit that is telling you, do it.
Yeah.
And it's so good to have those rest to wrestle. Yeah. And I think sometimes we're discouraged or looked down or frowned upon for doubting God and for struggling. Yeah. But even Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane was like, let this cup pass me by, but let your will be done.
Not my will, but your will be done.
You get what I mean? So I think the more we embrace the humanity of Jesus and understand it's normal to struggle.
Yeah.
Paul says, you know, "The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. Who will help me? Who will help me? Who will save me?" And I think the more we embrace the humanity and flawed nature of Christians, the more non-Christians and baby Christians and struggling Christians will understand, oh my God, he goes, see, she is just like me. Well, I can relate. So yeah, to go back to your original question, I think spending time in prayer,
yeah,
reading the word of God, and just allowing yourself to be daily transformed,
yeah,
by the word of God. Like, yeah, when you read a word and the word says, don't do this, or don't go to bed, yeah, angry, or X, Y, Z, you kind of learn to be transformed little by little, and you now become more sensitive to that the voice. Holy Spirit and that voice of God.
There's so many things you said, and I don't have enough time to go into them.
We can do a part two, by the way.
Perhaps we're going to have to do a part two. But one of the things you said that I found really profound, and I found this to be true as somebody who was not churched, is it's like there's a scale, and initially your flesh has priority. You don't want to do something. Another voice, you're not sure what that voice is, but it's telling you, do it.
Yeah.
But your flesh is like, nah, I don't want to do it. Like when I was at Festival of Life, I don't want to stay here. I'm out. Yeah. Bye. I've done that. I've gone to church before, invited friends who are non-Christians to church, like, come church with me. And we're like, we're bored. Let's go. Like, literally,
yeah,
my flesh was 100% in control. And then gradually, as that wrestling starts to happen, the scale tips.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is able to say, nah, sit your butt back down. Stay here. And for whatever reason, you succumb to that voice. You start, yeah, to revere that voice. And then one day, you realize that is the voice of God.
Yeah.
There was something else you said. You talked about the more you know God, the more you realize you don't know him.
Yeah.
And I find that to be so true, because there will be circumstances in our lives where we're like, no, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, because this worked last time. I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to fast, and the result is going to be A, B, C. But then I pray, fast. Why am I seeing, you know, X, Y? I'm like, God, I don't recognize this code.
Not even Z, just X, Y.
X, Y.
Where's the third letter, man?
Like, and I think it is definitely a faith walk,
yeah,
isn't it? It's not something that we can say, this is the strategy or this is the code to living a Christian life. What have been some of the less comfortable aspects of being a Christian for you? Let's be real. What are some of the things that you've really struggled with?
Yeah, just to go back, as you were talking, you mentioned about a scale.
Yeah.
And I think this might also help someone about hearing the voice of God. I think the more you pour into your spiritual senses, your spiritual side, as opposed to your flesh, the more you'll see the fruit of that. So if you're spending more time in the word of God,
yeah,
and surrounding yourself with Christian literature, etc., you're more consumed with that. So that scale, you know, there's more volume or more mass. If you're spending more time in the flesh, the world, and things
you're
that
feeding
don't,
the flesh,
yeah, things that don't feed your spirit,
yeah,
you know, you won't be as sensitive. So that's why even Christians will go into a time of consecration, will be fasting or whatever, yeah, which is to get rid of the fleshy desires for a period of time, so that the flesh can become more, they can be
subdued
and more sensitive to the spirit. Mm. But yeah, stuff I've wrestled with as a Christian is, I think, for me, it's unanswered prayers.
Come on.
And the reason why I say that is, and it's not necessarily my unanswered prayers, because I'm super optimistic.
I am as well.
Yeah, but I feel it's like for others. And the reason why I say that is, I come from a place of privilege in which my privilege is that, one, I was born and raised in a church. Yeah. So I don't have that, a Lazarus or Damascus.
Road to Damascus.
Yeah, like I was a killer before, but now I'm killing my flesh. You know what I mean? I don't have that type of thing. Yeah. So again, even that's a privilege. Mm. But even again, having multiple streams of income, I'm not the wealthiest person, but I have access to money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even that is a privilege. So I can get a bill, or wife needs to say, oh, I need to go to the dentist. And I can say, oh, here's XYZ to go and do that.
Yes.
So I think for
we
people...
We have it on camera now.
Praise the Lord. So I feel like when people don't see the fruit of their prayers, I understand that, because as Christians or human beings, we're resort-based people.
Yeah.
You go to the gym once, you see definition, I'm going again.
Of course.
I'm going tomorrow. I might even go twice tomorrow.
Mm.
If I go for 6 weeks and I'm not seeing change, I'm going to give up. And it's the same in your walk with God. If you're praying and...
you're asking for this one thing.
Yeah, and it's not coming. Or you say, God, I struggle with porn. God, I struggle with this. God, I struggle with this. Or God, my health is this. And you're not seeing the fruit of it. It's like, so prayer doesn't work. And then sometimes it's like, you know, somebody might say, oh, you don't have enough faith.
Yeah.
And I really feel for people when, because I don't believe in that statement.
I agree with you.
Because it just might not be the will of God for you, for that person to be healed of diabetes or sickle cell or whatever their ailment or chronic illness or whatever it might be. It doesn't even have to be that severe. So I think that's something I maybe struggled with, even losing I lost my dad to COVID.
Oh,
and he was on life support for, I think, 6 weeks. Now, during COVID, people weren't on life support for that long. So in that 6 week period, I actually had time to process and be like, all right, my dad is on life support. It's unresponsive. But, one of the beauties, in inverted commas, of terminal illnesses like cancer and stuff like that is that you have time to process. Okay, Jackie's got 8 weeks to live. You have 8 weeks to prepare yourself. But in like a car crash, you can't prepare.
Yeah.
It's instant.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, what do you mean that's happened?
Yeah.
So I feel like knowing my dad wasn't responsible, he was alive, I was able to kind of process that. So I'm praying, like, God heal him. But I'm also coming to terms with he might pass. However, during that period, my perspective on death changed, in which there's a saying, death is the friend of a righteous man going home.
Mm.
We sing songs like, your presence is heaven to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Songs about being in God's presence, physically.
Yeah.
You're only going to get there via death or rapture.
Come on.
And we know in our lifetime, death is probably more certain than rapture. Mm. You know, we don't know. Christ has been coming. He's been coming for 2,000 odd years. So in reality, death might come before rapture comes. So that process allowed me to kind of change my perspective on death.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, unanswered prayers, I feel like God answers my prayers. And even when he doesn't answer my prayers in the way I expect him to, I still feel like it works out.
Yeah.
But maybe because I'm optimistic, and maybe because my prayers might not be as serious, so to say, for someone, but I feel like it always comes through for me.
You know I've been in some life or death type situations. And similar to you, even when the outcome was death, and we're going to have to continue this conversation another time, but even when the outcome was death, I think there's a level of faith and relationship that you have with God. And I find that he doesn't allow you to go through that kind of challenge until you get to that level.
Mm.
But there's a level of faith and relationship you have with God that actually... even if you don't save me from the fire, like the three Hebrew boys,
I'm
still not going to serve Satan. Like, it's just not an option. Like, I'm still not going to go back to the world. Like, it's just, there's nothing. It's either Jesus or nothing. Like, there's literally no other option. And I find that sometimes, because even, like, I've been reading the book of Job, and I'm just like, God, I really suffered. Why? But I find that sometimes... even in the suffering, there's this maturing that happens. There's this growth. There's this development that happens. And going through faith in the trials actually bears witness that God is real, especially to those who doubt him. Faith child, I have a gift for you.
Thank you so much.
I have a card in here. I'm going to be real. I haven't filled it in yet. You know how there's that thing about how... our people, we get to the party and we're filling in the card outside. But that's what happened. But
I can give you an opportunity at the end to fill
it. Yes, I will fill it in with very wise, deep, meaningful words. You said yes to me. You said yes to us. There's no us at the moment, it's just me, but this will grow. But I'm really grateful. It's not much. It's just chocolate, guys. But
chocolate is much in my eyes.
But I pray that God will honor you for honoring our invitation. And this is about sharing Christ in the UK. I feel like we're so in the minority, the Christian voice here. And I'm so passionate about us having these kind of conversations in places like this, you know, and putting a bit of money behind it and wearing makeup, because I'm not really a makeup person, and putting in effort just so people can have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So thank you for honoring me.
My God, absolute pleasure. Amen. Thank you. I'm really...
I apologize to your wife because she's probably going to have to help you consume that. So sorry, not sorry. But yeah, thank you so much. Do you have any last words for anyone who is umming and ahhing about saying yes to Jesus? If you could have the opportunity to speak to anyone, let the Spirit of God lead you in what you say in this time, because we know how our God is.
Yeah.
He's able to, you know, use our words to speak life through us. Someone's watching this podcast, listening, and they're like, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. Like, I'm here. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say you are not alone and you're not in a unique space, which others have also come before you and done that. I would say, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's from the Bible. And it's an invitation for you to try God. And I think at least you can say you tried it. If it doesn't work for you now, I do believe it will work eventually. But I think one thing I'll say is you've probably come across judgmental Christians in your journey and felt like you have to clean yourself up before you come to God. That's actually anti-gospel. God loves you exactly the way you are, but loves you enough to not leave you the same way he met you. So with all your mess, whatever you deem as mess, you might not even think you're messy anyway, but wherever you are right now, just give God a try. Just come find a local church. You might have a Christian friend in your circle somewhere. It might be a grandma or a colleague or someone. Try and find that. Try and find them. Or nevertheless, the Come See podcast.
Come on.
Come see.
Like that song says, come see that the Lord is good.
Yeah. So give God a try, man. And God loves you. I think you need to hear that. God loves you. In your mistakes, your failings, even your accomplishments, humanity. Everything. Yeah. God loves you in all of that. I want to have a relationship with you. So much so that he sent Jesus to die for you. And even that concept makes no sense to the average listener. Like, how would that make any sense? Mm. But take time to look into that. But God does love you and wants to have a relationship with you. So do everything you can to at least take another step. God has already taken the first step. Try and take the next step to try and broker gap. But God loves you, and make sure you show love and subscribe to the Come See.
Thank you so much, Faith Child. I don't know what I was going to say. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Like Faith Child said, subscribe, like, leave a comment. And yeah, we're going to have to do this again. I'm going to ask for permission again and beg your wife.
We'll make it work.
And yeah, because I have so many more things I want to ask. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. We'll be right back.